I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, providing you a safe space. If you're an independent thinker out there, beholden to no party, no politician, this is your spot for a couple of hours a day. There was a policy rolled out on Friday after I was off the air that I didn't get to yesterday. It's one of the most diabolical things I've seen come out of the COVID stuff. So I've made a note. We're definitely going to get to that today. And some other strange things happened yesterday. I just don't quite understand. Maybe we can send a request to Thomas Dobbs to explain a couple of things to us. So anyway, we'll get to that stuff in a little bit today. I've got my quote of the day. My quote of the day is something I referenced before, I think very poorly because I didn't have it written down in front of me and I couldn't remember it verbatim, but it is the Serenity Prayer. And it's actually just the first paragraph of the Serenity Prayer, which is, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The most important thing being the final line there, and the wisdom to know the difference. Because it was amazing. It just kind of hit me yesterday as I was looking through headlines. It is amazing what human beings think that they can change. We don't have the discernment to understand those things which are facts of life, things that are beyond our control, and the things that are within our control. And some of these things people will see as absurd just immediately. Most rational people will see these things and understand you can't control those things. But some of these things people, including some of the people listening to the show today, believe that with just a little bit more effort, with a couple more policies, with a couple more laws, voting a little bit harder, these are some things that we can change. We know we can. Of course, there's no historical example of ever doing it, but we continue to have this faith. Now, one of the things I was looking at yesterday was some climate change stuff. I talked about it a lot last week. I'm probably not going to hit it as hard this week, but they are trying to convince us that we can control the climate of planet Earth. This is worldwide, to the precision of a half of 1 degree Celsius. All of climate change policy that's coming out right now, Green New Deal, all of the things, they are allowing for the Earth to heat up 1.5 degrees Celsius going forward. And that's where we have to stop it. We have to stop it in its tracks at 1.5 degrees. Not 1.7, that's catastrophe. Not 1.78, that would be catastrophic. No, we've got 1.5 degrees of this giant planet hurtling through space, rotating, orbiting a sun on the outskirts of the Milky Way. And we have got control freaks who believe that they are going to control all of human behavior to get us to this, or keep us within this 1.5 degrees Celsius. There are people who believe that we can run up massive debt, keep printing money, and keep anything from ever going wrong. There is no historical example of this, yet the people that tell us these things, they think that the Federal Reserve believes if it cuts interest rates here and raises interest rates there and buys some bonds here and sells some bonds there and supports the bond market here and puts money into the repo market, that they can somehow strike a balance that will negate all of the horrible, horrible, horrible effects of constant borrowing and printing of money. And, of course, they think that we can completely control a transmissible virus. If we just do a few more things, if we accept a few more policies, and one of them today I'm going to talk about is just abhorrent. They believe that human beings can conquer a virus. Now, originally, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, you understand, even within that idea, it was never about sparing any human beings. It was never about stopping the transmissibility of a virus. So it made a tiny bit of sense. It was, let's spread out how we all get this virus and just not overwhelm the healthcare system. They have morphed that into, if you just take this experimental jab, if you continue to wear your mask, if you continue to social distance, and now they're starting to lock down places around the earth again, we'll get these cases down to zero. This is where we lack the wisdom to know the difference between what we can change and what we cannot change. There are people listening to me right now who believe that with just enough laws and with just enough prison cells and with just enough police on the streets and with enough assets deployed to it, we will stop human beings within the borders of the United States from ever altering their consciousness using a plant. We just need to lock up more people. Pay no attention to the fact that there is evidence of hallucinogenics and things like that throughout all of time. I've told the story recently. I saw a story that dolphins will suck on a puffer fish to get a high. And not only that, they will pass it around. There was some video of this. It was really quite amazing. The poor puffer fish. But we believe we can't keep drugs out of prisons, but we somehow believe, and I guess the police believe, if they just hit the streets enough, if they just get enough assets, if they just get this, they just get that, they pass some more laws and control us a little more, they will stop human beings within the United States from ever using any drugs ever again. We think that we can invade a country, install a government that they don't want, and it'll be successful. This is another one of those things that we seek to change, right? We don't have the wisdom to understand those things we cannot change. We are leaving Afghanistan right now after 20 years, and it's going to be worse than it was when we found it. And the kinds of people that will be in charge there will be exactly the same. And we think that if we just make enough laws, if we just pass enough policies, we can make life fair for everybody. Nobody will ever be left behind again. If we just tackle white privilege, everything will be fair. What about height privilege? Have you watched an NBA game? There seems to be a tremendous amount of height privilege there. Do we need to address that? We think that we can shove a bunch of horrible food into our pie hole, yet we'll be saved by a pill. We don't have to do anything ourselves. We can change our health trajectory just through the innovations of the pharmaceutical industry. We don't have to pay attention to the food we put into our bodies, even though we need the same vitamins and nutrients and minerals that we've needed for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years as human beings. It is really quite amazing to look at what we are told they can control if you just give them a little bit more power, a little bit more leeway, a few more dollars. There will never be any bad outcomes. There will never be any death. There will never be any tragedy. If we just give them enough money and enough power and enough laws to back these things up, somehow we'll change the trajectory of all of humankind of all times. We can never control the climate. We never have. We never will. It's bigger than all of us. It's as big as space. But that will not deter them from upending and getting this $50 trillion. As I said, it's a scam. When you've got J.P. Morgan and BlackRock telling you how sustainable they want the planet, you should get a little suspicious. But the left has fallen in love with the big megacorps these days. We will not escape the laws of economics and the consequences of massive debt. We can push it back a great deal, as we've been doing for decades now. But every time we push it back, it's just going to make it worse. We will succumb to the gravity that is economics. There's never been an example in the history of mankind where excessive debt levels did not end in tragedy, destroying empires. But they'll tell you, just sit around. They've got control. Don't worry. They've got it all figured out. and we cannot outrun or control a transmissible virus, and all the mitigation efforts were completely ineffective. And you can look at Sweden, South Dakota, and Florida to see ample evidence of that. What we can change, if we want to use our wisdom, the discernment to know the difference between the things we can and we can't change, we can stop ceding power to all of these people, regardless of their party. But that's difficult for most people. They've got to get their guys in. We can fix our health to a great extent. We can address pollution while admitting our smallness in the universe when it comes to climate and to world temperatures. We can also understand that people in different areas have different needs, different desires, different cultures, want different things, and just acknowledge with some sadness that there will be human tragedy around planet Earth, and the U.S. military is not going to go around solving the world's problems. Not that that was ever really the intention. The Donald Rumsfelds, the Joe Bidens, the Hillary Clintons, the Dick Cheneys, their goal was never to help mankind. It was to enrich themselves. But if the people would finally understand that we are not going to impose our will and have blossoming democracies around the world, if we would have the discernment to understand, the wisdom to know the difference between what we can and we cannot change, and just accept the sadness of the unfairness in some countries and realize they are not going to be run well and their people will not be treated well, we'd be better off for it. And we can also accept that everybody is just a compilation of a lifetime of experiences. If somebody doesn't agree with you, it doesn't mean you have to hate them. They come at it from a different point of view than you do. They've got their own stuff going on. We could stop hating on each other. That's another thing that we could probably do. And if we would stop the hate among each other, we would probably be able to accomplish the first thing I said, which is ceding power to these people that loom over both sides, right and left, who do not have your best interests at heart. But it is pretty interesting when you just look at the control freaks, when you stop and look, stop and think for just a second of what they are asking you to do and what their goal is, what their stated goal is, and start to understand these are things they never could control. They know they can't control them. And their intention is not to control the outcome. It's not to control the virus. It's not to control another government. It's not to control the climate. Their desire is to control you. The Serenity Prayer should be part of our national dialogue. We should focus on the last line. When I come back, though, there was a weird, weird thing that came out yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. I just don't understand how this could be so. We'll look at it when we come back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Yeah, now something really strange happened yesterday. I don't know if you caught this. I'm sure pretty much everybody's seen this. But I just found it really weird. I'll tell you why after we read the story here. Why I think it's so weird. U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, announced a new warning on Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine, saying the shot has been linked to Guillain-Barré syndrome. GBS, a serious but rare autoimmune disorder. The Washington Post attributed the news to four individuals familiar with the situation. This was before they had made the announcement, so that part is moot. According to the New York Times, the chances of developing GBS after receiving the J&J shot is 3 to 5 times higher than would be expected in the general population in the U.S. About 100 preliminary reports in the U.S. of GBS have been detected after receiving J&J vaccines, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, said in a statement on Monday. Most cases were reported about 2 weeks after vaccination, mostly in men 50 and older. Now, that's odd, too, because I thought that they watched you for 15 minutes after you got the shot, and if you made it out of the first 48 hours, you're supposed to be home free. That's strange. These things were happening 2 weeks after the shots. That's interesting. Federal officials identified the 100 suspected cases of GBS among recipients of the J&J shot through the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. No link has been found, the story goes on to say, no link has been found between Guillain-Barré syndrome and mRNA COVID vaccines developed by Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna, despite reports in VAERS. According to the most recent data from VAERS between December 14, 2020 and July 2nd, there was 398 reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome, with 187 of them attributed to Pfizer, 159 attributed to Moderna, and 76 cases to J&J. So there's lots of weird things about this story. The first thing is, they issued an advisory, a warning on these shots yesterday. They've been out for 6 months. Because, see, that's strange, because normally vaccines come out with the warnings. When they're released to the public, they've already studied it. Here they tell us it's safe and effective, that they've studied it, and they tell you about the large sample size they used in the 2 months of study that they did. But it's strange. They keep slapping new warnings on these things. It's almost like this is the trial, isn't it? I wonder if Thomas Dobbs, if I missed it, please send me the link. If anybody saw Thomas Dobbs' warning about this situation of this Guillain-Barré syndrome. Because I might have missed it. Because every time I've seen him, he's just said, safe and effective, and you're a big dummy if you don't go out and get the vax. But I'm sure he has always disclaimed, hey, there is this possibility. But it is odd, too, that they're labeling the J&J. I haven't quite gotten to the bottom of this J&J versus Moderna and Pfizer scam that's going on. J&J was paused for what they said was 6 blood clots. I think it was paused for about 2 weeks. At the same time, there were hundreds of blood clot reports for both Pfizer and Moderna. They said nothing. They didn't pause them. And J&J had dozens of reports of blood clots, but they focused on this 6, and the narrative was, see how vigilant they're being? See how careful they're being? They paused the J&J after just 6 cases of rare blood clotting disorders. This was what the news reported night after night after night, and every health authority came out and told you, see, this shows you how vigilant we're being, how careful we're being, how cautious and how we're erring on the side of caution. But they ignored the hundreds of others who had blood clotting from the mRNA vaccines. But again, they continue to come out and talk about these things safe and effective with absolutely zero evidence that that's the case. They have no evidence. Thomas Dobbs, when he comes out and tells you safe and effective, do you know what he's reading from? He's reading from a Pfizer and Moderna press release, essentially. He's not reading from any evidence of these things. He's just coming out and giving you the lines that the marketing team at Pfizer and Moderna have given him to read. Now, maybe it has got, maybe that press release is put on CDC letterhead and Thomas Dobbs just isn't quite quick enough to catch on that it's just a press release. It is amazing to me that Americans are just sitting back and allowing this to happen. I got to say, Kim Wade yesterday, he did a long clip yesterday, but it was riveting about COVID itself, the origins, the patents on it. You can contact Kim and get the clip if you missed his show yesterday. It was interesting, and it's something that's good for individual consumption. Get the thing and watch this. It was that, I forget the guy's name. I've seen him all over the place. He's a He's a researcher, certainly knows what he's talking about. But it really struck me yesterday, and I've had the chance to talk to some people. I listen to WYAB all day. Occasionally, I'll check out something else. But I got to tell you, this radio station does stand alone. I have referred to years now other conservative talk radio shows in central Mississippi as being WGOP. I don't know if that's bad form to be critical, but I've listened to them over the years, and they're basically Republican platforms bought and paid for by the establishment GOP, and we have this little rebel outpost out here. I've been asking people what the other stations are doing as far as the vaccines, and I would imagine they've been told to pretty much just keep their mouths shut. Tate Reeves wants the vaccine. You don't hear a lot of people in the Mississippi State Legislature warning you about anything or telling you to approach them at least with some amount of caution. And especially some of the stations that have statewide networks or just thrive on state-funded money controlled by Republican Party, so they just become a platform for the Republican Party. It just really struck me yesterday listening to Kim's show and really across the spectrum of hosts. If people want independent media, you're about as close as you can get right here. We'll actually come out and say the things that will not be said anywhere else. While I'm talking about these things, I wanted to play a clip that I played yesterday because it struck me again. Look, sometimes I'm a little slow on the uptake. This was one of these kind of jingle things, song things that comes out. It was some people, and they have an accent. I don't believe this was for an American audience. Yesterday, I played a clip from a guy in Alberta, Canada, and he was recalling the fact that he had taken the vaccine and had gotten shingles. And when he was talking to his nurse, and they were putting together a report of this adverse event, the nurse said, yeah, we've seen several cases of that. And again, this is one hospital and one nurse in Alberta, Canada, and she alone had already seen several cases of shingles developing after the vaccine. And the guy who got the vaccine said, well, hey, why didn't you tell me that before you gave me the vaccine? Why aren't you telling people that people are getting shingles after getting the vaccine? And she said, well, we don't want to create any vaccine hesitancy. What kind of twisted, bizarre logic is that? We don't want to tell you that the brakes on this car may fail because you might not buy the car. Would we let a car manufacturer get away with something like that? But this clip yesterday that I played just kind of struck me. Something, another one of these narratives that is said about the side effects, the typical side effects after the COVID vaccine, just the fever and the cough and the nausea and the sleeplessness and the sweats or whatever it is. I haven't gotten the thing, but, you know, there's a long list of things that are kind of typical for this vaccine. But this little clip was put out to kind of warn you about something else you should avoid after getting a vaccine.
Don't go running, don't go cycling, please don't go swimming, lifting after your vaccine, but try walking or some stretching. Because if you don't want a cardiac arrest, you better be listening.
So what they're saying is don't do any heavy lifting or anything for a week after, no strenuous exercise or any heavy lifting for a week after you get the vaccine because you're going to risk a heart attack. Now, when they have the typical side effects of this vaccine, people will have headaches and body aches and fever. What the health authorities have been telling us is, look, that just means it's working. It's got your immune system is reacting and it's fighting off this foreign invader and your immune system's getting really, really strong. Now, I guess I can see that. I saved my immune system for the actual disease and I would imagine I probably battled it a time or two over the past year. But who knows? Who knows? But if you get some of the symptoms of COVID from the shot, I guess you could make the leap to say this is you getting what is, I know it's not the same as a traditional vaccine, but your body's reacting to this spike protein that they have instructed your body to now produce for the first time in all of human history. and say, look, this is your immune system raising your temperature, to, you know, the whole deal. How does it, how is it consistent that you might have a heart attack after the vaccine if you lift something heavy? That's not your immune system. Your immune system does not cause you to have a heart attack from cycling, going for a bike ride after a vaccine. That's not a sign of your immune system working. Yet, it's interesting. I have not seen, I did a search for this because, as I said, those guys, they've got an accent. I don't think that was for an American audience. I believe it was Great Britain, but I'm not sure. Let me see if there's anything in the title. No, it doesn't say where they're from. But I was wondering, so I did a search to find out if there is a warning currently in the United States right now to not do any heavy lifting or anything after the vaccine here in the U.S. Maybe they tell you at the time of the jab. But here's Singapore. I ran across this story. I couldn't find any warnings in the U.S. There's no, you know, when you do a search, God knows the first 30 responses or something from the CDC or the New York Times or whatever. I saw nothing, but I did find the Indian Express. And in Singapore, it says, the headline of the story is explained, why Singapore is urging people to avoid exercise for a week after getting a COVID-19 vaccine. Singapore's health ministry has urged its residents to avoid strenuous exercise for a week after receiving first and second dose of all mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. The country has updated its health guidelines for vaccine beneficiaries, which earlier advised a 12 to 24 hour break from exercise following the shot. Well, something must have happened, and they must have had some people dropping dead or having heart attacks after that 24-hour period, so they revised their guidance. Again, it feels almost like they're just making this up as they go, like they're testing it on a bunch of people. Previously, the guidelines recommended a brief break of exercise only after receiving both doses. Then they took it to 12 to 24 hours. Now they're pushing it out a week. This thing is obviously doing something to the heart. I'm no scientist, no biologist, no doctor, no cardiologist, but my understanding is the heart pretty important to us day to day. While the advisory applied to all those seeking vaccinations, it focused particularly on adolescents and men below the age of 30. Quote, we recommend that everyone, in particular, adolescents and younger men aged younger than 30 avoid strenuous physical activity, such as intense exercise, for 1 week after the first and second doses, the ministry's updated guidelines said. Now, what I find strange about that is that I couldn't find an American reference to this pause in strenuous exercise. And I thought back to that clip where the guy said, that his nurse said, well, we're not telling people about the fact that you may get shingles from the shot because we don't want to increase vaccine hesitancy. So they're keeping shingles a secret. Are they also here in the U.S. keeping the fact that you could have a heart attack if you go for a jog or move a couch for a week after your shot? Are they keeping that a secret too? You know, to tamp down vaccine hesitancy? Is that the logic thinking here? It is amazing, and I'm going to have to be a little bit better about it. I do it fairly consistently, but I need to start looking at more foreign media. There have been vaccine pauses. There have been vaccine stoppages. All around the world, I heard kind of a laundry list of different countries, particularly in, I believe this was on a Cheryl Atkinson podcast I listened to last night, particularly in maybe Eastern European countries have either paused or stopped their vaccine rollouts because they started to see these side effects. In the U.S., full steam ahead. No pause, no rethinking. No nothing. Rush out, get a vaccine. And I saw a story yesterday. Which vaccine is best? It said, whichever one you can get first. This is something absolutely incredible. And when I come back, I'm going to get into these new guidelines from the CDC that came out Friday that may be the worst policy that has come out. And that's saying a lot about the last 18 months of our lives. Where one bad policy, whether it's masks that proved to be ineffective and dangerous, particularly for children, plastic partitions, wiping down your stuff, lockdowns, social distancing. It doesn't matter what it is. It's been one bad policy after another, but this next one, I tell you what, I think it's just flat out nefarious. I can't believe I didn't cover it yesterday because it made me furious when I heard it on Friday. I'll do it when I come back. Stay with me. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'll be honest with you. I have for quite a while been sick of talking about vaccine stuff, about COVID restriction stuff. But, you know, if you're running a radio station, if you're hosting a radio show, you know, as a country is sinking into complete totalitarianism or there's just horrible experimentation being done on the people, it seems a little derelict to not talk about it as it's happening. And that's what I see happening here. I don't know another way to interpret it. These new warnings they keep slapping on, but every week they're putting a new warning on. This thing's been out for 6 months now, and they're just now determining, after they've injected hundreds of millions of Americans, that, oh yeah, there's some problems. Then they tell you, well, it's to be expected. Well, to a lot of the people who are, you know, the tens of thousands of people who have either died or become permanently disabled, they weren't expecting it because all you said was safe and effective. And there was just a big blank sheet when you pulled out the insert in the vaccine thing. So I don't know how to not report on this, but what I saw Friday was one of the most disgusting policies to come out yet. And it was this. This is what came out Friday. This is from the AP reporting on it. Vaccinated teachers and students don't need to wear masks inside school buildings, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said on Friday, in relaxing its COVID-19 guidelines. Do you understand the implication of that, the effect of that? You are going to have, it's tough being a parent. A lot of times you have to make decisions for your children that are not really popular. Maybe they don't get a phone as soon as everybody else because you think it's not good for their brains to be staring into a screen from the time they're 2 years old until adulthood. Parents make tough decisions for their kids all the time. And one of these tough decisions is going to be, with all of the pressure being applied to parents to get your kid the shot, medical clinics, pushing it, you know, you go in for your checkup. You got to get the stink eye when you don't get your kid the COVID shot. So parents who do not want their children experimented on are now going to have their children, who are forced to wear a mask if they're not vaccinated, begging their parents to let them get the shot. Kids don't understand that this is an experiment or what the experiment even means. So you have now put parents into a situation where parents who are looking out for the best interest of their children, which is 99% of parents, have made a conscious decision, I don't want my child to get a brand new vaccine for a disease that they are not in danger of, but you are going to put pressure on them now, not only from society, from the media, from the doctors, but now their own children are going to be coming to them because they don't want to wear that stinking mask another day. And we have got school districts that have expressed some desires to not even really want parental approval of vaccinating children for COVID-19. You will have, across the country, children who go into nurses' offices at the school without their parents' knowledge getting injected with an experimental vaccine because they want to take the mask off. This is going to pit children against their own parents. It is also going to assign this caste system in our schools where the kids masked up are the ones you can really focus your pressure on. And the teachers and administrators, these teachers, it's not all of them for sure. There's a lot of good teachers out there that are smart enough to know this is a disastrous idea to experiment on our children with a vaccine for a disease that does not affect them. But the teachers who are the preachers of the vax, the new religion of vaccinology, the teacher, they'll know where to really focus their effort and their scorn. Those mask kids. Those dirty, disease-carrying, masked kids. All it takes is for a couple of the cool kids in school to get the vaccine and walk around maskless, smiling and joking and looking like normal kids before a whole bunch of other kids say, I want that vaccine too. My mom and dad won't let me have the vaccine. How long before this ends up in court? Where some health authority takes the case of a child who really wants the vaccine. I mean, if children can decide their gender at age 5, and we've got courts of law forcing parents to provide hormone therapy to a child to change their gender while they're 5 years old, 8 years old, how long before we start seeing these cases of children who demand to get vaccinated and the parents are treated as if they're being abusive to their child by not vaccinating them? This is so gross as a policy, and I believe it's purposeful. I believe it is designed to pressure kids, to give kids who can't understand the implications of an experimental vaccine. They don't know. It is designed to put into their heads that if you want the mask off, there's only one way out of the mask. Now, there should be an easy way. I did see that Tate Reeves says he is not, has no intention right now of imposing a mask mandate for our kids attending school. Kudos to Tate Reeves if that's the case. He better stay away from Thomas Dobbs for the next 2 months. As Thomas Dobbs, like a hysterical woman, freaks out about the COVID, the Delta variant. But right now, Tate Reeves is saying he will not do a mask mandate. Now, the other part of that is we need to be very vigilant, and you should be contacting your schools and universities if you care about your children having choice. And even you parents who have gotten your kids vaccinated, I'm telling you, you better stand on the side of personal freedom right now, because there will come along a vaccine or some policy you don't like. And if you allow them to do another mandate for your college students who don't want the vaccine, then someday they will come for you. Do you not understand that? I don't know how many more examples we need right here in the United States. Just within the past couple of years, we've seen these examples of people supporting totalitarian processes because you agreed with that one, and then one comes your way that you don't like. Wait, what? They shut down my church? That's not right. You need to call your schools and universities, because they are going to mandate this thing eventually, or certainly make an attempt at it, and it's going to take one thing, and that is the full FDA approval of the vaccine. It's coming. Fauci says the solution to vaccine hesitancy is official approval from the Food and Drug Administration. Quote, one of the things that will happen, and I think the hesitancy at the local level of doing mandates is because the vaccines have not been officially fully approved, Fauci said. Quote, here it comes. But people need to understand that the amount of data right now that shows a high degree of effectiveness and a high degree of safety is more than we've ever seen with emergency use authorization. So these vaccines are as good as officially approved, with all the I's dotted and T's crossed. This thing's going to be approved. The FDA is going to ignore all of the VAERS data. Again, in 1977, 50 people died from the swine flu vaccine. They stopped the whole program. I think they had jabbed 27 million Americans somewhere in that area. 50 deaths, they stopped the whole program. We've got what has got to be approaching now 10,000 deaths. Last report was 9,000 deaths just on VAERS, and that's an underreporting according to a Harvard study that says somewhere between 1 and 10% are even reported. But even their numbers in VAERS say over 9,000 people have died. It's full speed ahead, and the FDA will approve this thing. They will also approve boosters. All this hemming and hawing and all these stories about, well, there's disagreement between the CDC and Pfizer about the need for a booster. Let me just clue you in. There will be boosters. This is like political theater. It's healthcare theater. The CDC wants you to think they're being very circumspect, really stopping to consider the pros and cons and taking in all of the data. No, they're not. They will give approval to boosters, and they will give approval, full approval to this vaccine. And as soon as they do, that is a green light for mandates all over the place. You better get out ahead of this if you do not want your school-age child to be forced into a vaccination, or if you do not want your employer to force you into a vaccination. You need to get out ahead of that now and let them know that they will reap the whirlwind when they put out this mandate. It is better to stop it before it happens than try to repeal it once it's done. They will approve this thing, probably relatively quickly, and certainly probably before the school year starts. Fauci went on to say it hasn't been done yet because the FDA has to do certain things, and his next sentence is, but it's as good as done. So people should really understand that. But they are waiting now until you get an official approval before. And I think when you do see the official approval, you'll see a lot more mandates. I'm telling you, people, if you don't want your kids experimented on, you better get out ahead of this and get out ahead of it quick. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, we're back. We only got about a minute left in this hour, so I don't have time to pontificate any longer about vaccines and stuff, but I'm just amazed at what I'm seeing here. And you know, it is. I don't judge people who don't know really what to look for, what to look. There are people who just believe the CDC loves them, and they are just the smartest guys and gals. They just don't know how corrupt these organizations are. They don't understand the industry ties. They don't know to follow the money. They don't know. They don't pay attention to these things like a lot of us do. I don't judge them for it. It just makes me sick to see so many people in the media, including conservative news outlets, pumping an experimental vaccine like it is just nothing, like you're just an idiot for even avoiding this thing. We've never done this before. It looks horrific to me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right. right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I was going to move on from COVID and vaccination stuff until I just heard the news break. If you're listening on the podcast, you didn't hear it, but I'll tell you what they just said, and it's just the biggest, fattest, most dangerous lie. I wish I was listening more intently, but I'm so tuned out from mainstream news, to be honest with you, that it's too aggravating to listen to. I don't know who it was that said this thing, but I'm sure I'll get another crack at it on another news break. I'll hear who it was, but I'm assuming it was some health authority, some talking head somewhere. He said, get out and get this vaccine. These side effects are a 1 in a million event. That's a lie. That's just as dishonest as it can be. Now, if he is parsing down to one particular adverse event, he may have been referring to this new Guillain-Barre warning on these things. Even that's a lie, I believe. I'll have to go back and look at the numbers of people with Guillain-Barre. But I did the real quick after I heard him say that, I pulled up a story trying to find the VAERS numbers. I'm going to give you the VAERS numbers as of June 11th. So they're actually almost a month. Well, they're a month old, but it's just the first thing I could find. I didn't have time to search for more of it. As of June 11th, there were 29,871 serious injury reports. There were over 300,000 adverse event reports, but a lot of those are more mild stuff that people recover from. The 29,871 serious injury reports, those are hospitalizations and permanent disabilities. If it was a 1 in a million event that you would have a serious injury, that would mean, according to that guy, he says, it's a 1 in a million, go out and get the shot. These things are a 1 in a million occurrence. Well, that would mean for this number of serious injuries, this 29,871 as of a month ago, not taking into account what's happened over the last 30 days, he means that we must have in the United States 29,871,000,000 people. Do you get my math there? If this 29,871 serious injury reports, meaning serious debilitating side effects, is just 1 in a million, that would mean the U.S. has over almost 30 billion people in it that have been inoculated. And that's obviously not true. Just for the deaths alone, right now we have over 9,000 deaths reported to the VAERS system, and everybody believes that is underreported. I don't know the number. People are probably a little bit more vigilant on this than they would have been on other vaccines, so I would imagine the number is higher reports to VAERS than typical, so I don't think it's going to be 100 times. I don't know if it would be 10 times or not. But the number of reported deaths to VAERS is 9,000, over 9,000 right now. If that was just a 1 in a million event, that would mean that they've inoculated 9 billion people in the United States. No, I don't know. Do people understand we only have 330 million people in the United States? Not 9 billion, 330 million. What is that, 3% of the 9 billion? It is not a 1 in a million event. Even with this Guillain-Barre syndrome, let me see. I've got the numbers here. According to VAERS, there have been 398 reports of Guillain-Barre syndrome to VAERS. 398 reports. So he's close to that one, because you times that times a million and you come up with 398 million. So I guess that's what he's referring to. But he's just talking about one side effect. One of the side effects. He says, rush out and get the vaccine. So I guess technically he's kind of right. He's still a little off because we only have 330 million people. So it's probably a one in a, what is that, a 1 in 1.15% chance in a million. But he just leaves out all of the other things, the strokes, the blood clots, the paralysis, the Bell's palsy, the things they can't identify. They don't even know what to call them. That is so wildly dangerous to fill a bunch of people. And as I said before the break, unfortunately, there's just a lot of people that don't pay attention to this. They're not listening to this show. They don't care about it. They're just going on with their own lives. And they believe when they see an official government seal or somebody who's attained some post within government that they know what they're talking about. They must. They couldn't have gotten there if they didn't know what they were doing. That's what they think. And so they'll listen to a man say, you've got a one in a million chance of having a side effect. That's just patently untrue. Just really disgusting. I want to move on to some other things. They're reporting these inflation numbers. Everybody doesn't really need the news to tell them there's inflation. We're all seeing it. I have seen that lumber prices are coming down. I think all the 2021 gains have been wiped out. I'm not sure how much higher things are year over year, but maybe lumber's coming down. Hopefully that is a trend for some of these hyperbolic curves we've seen in pricing on some things. I have an interest in the steel industry. I'd like to see steel come back down and supply interruptions end there, but Americans are going to be paying the price for our COVID reaction and the money printing. Two things we allowed, we sat back and allowed, and now we get to pick up the bill. And it's basically the 99% of us, I'd say the top 1%, not really affected too much by higher gas prices or food prices. But about 99% of the people really do feel it to some degree, to varying degrees. Certainly, the about 80% of Americans, it changes your behavior when you see prices go up like this. So for vast numbers of Americans and people around the world, it's not just happening here, but with our money printing and our fiscal response to pandemic lockdowns and these kinds of things and printing up all of this funny money, it is really seeing inflation rise here, but it's not affecting everybody equally. I'm sure you saw this weekend. The elites, they seem to be doing okay.
Down to the wire as Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic showcases the final preps for its spaceship. On Sunday, flying to 50,000 feet before release.
Fire. Fire.
Then rocketing to the Kármán line that marks the edge of space. NASA and the Air Force say that line is 50 miles high. Virgin test pilots have already climbed to 56 miles. But now the Bezos team is tweeting that only their rocket will climb 62 miles high, the internationally recognized Kármán line. And their passenger astronauts won't have an asterisk by their names. And by the way, they have bigger windows to gaze at the Earth. Blue Origin uses a rocket. Virgin Galactic uses a space plane with 17 windows.
So my point of playing that clip right there and tying it to the inflation, while the vast majority of Americans and people around the world suffer economic hardships and the horrible consequences of COVID lockdowns, employers are having a tough time with their labor pool. I mean, this is just hard times for the vast majority of Americans. You've got Bezos and Branson on a space fun run. Yeah, they're just going to run up to space and they're kind of jabbing each other. I was first. Yeah, well, I'm going to go higher. They're spending billions of dollars because they've just been at the beneficiaries of one of the greatest wealth, maybe the greatest wealth transfer over the past 12 years. 20 years, 30 years, but particularly the last 12, 13 years. The greatest wealth transfer in the history of mankind from the average citizen up to the 0.01%, the billionaire class. And they're using it to do a space fun run. Now, I'm telling you, people, I know you don't like it. It's not good political theater radio, and that's what's probably most popular. But while you're paying attention to Nancy Pelosi and, you know, naming and shaming the demon rats, these kinds of things, and all of you liberals out there are talking about the ignorant Trumpers or the Nazi Trumpers or whatever it is you're calling it, you are all paying higher prices at the pump. You're all paying the inflation. The billionaire class is laughing at you. They don't play politics. They don't do partisanship. Oh, well, they might say something just to, you know, keep the political theater juiced up and going. But they're exploring space as they have taken the wealth transfer from the bottom to the tippy, 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 tippy top. They've got so much money they don't know what to do with it. I don't know. Let's try to get up into space. Holy cow. This world, people have got to catch a clue at some point and understand what is happening here. And it is largely economic. If we ever actually got our heads wrapped around exactly what has taken place slowly but surely and now very quickly, we might actually see who the real enemy is. And it's not the neighbor that you have or the cousin that you had that voted different than you. I'll be right back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
You know, talking about the billionaires' little space fun run they're doing while the rest of us stew in our own juices and pay the higher prices. People need economic understanding. It would change everything if people could understand just basic economics. Just basic stuff. You would be able to identify the people who are backing up the truck and abusing the system for their own benefit. Everybody thinks it's just the other party, but it is interesting to me. Between Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson, big virtue signalers on the environment, I gotta ask, how is launching rockets for fun? It feels to me like that's pretty... Not real green, I'll just put it that way. Now, maybe I don't know, but they didn't appear to be nuclear powered. These things use some kind of a fuel source. There's got to be some level of CO2 that comes out of a couple of rockets, and they test these things and test, I mean, over and over and over again so that they can go up and take a video in space. But then they'll come preach to you that you need to go with your family of four and live in a 640-square-foot home and only fly in an airplane once every 3 years. They can test their rockets all they want. Take their vanity trips. But you need to sacrifice. And that's you, Republicans, you, Democrats. It's everybody. As I say, they don't see a party. They just see the power. I got into a conversation. I spent the weekend with my son this weekend. Smart kid. He's so much more politically aware of stuff than I was at his age. I don't know if that's because of me or people he's around. I don't know. But we don't agree on some things. He's got a very good heart, which I absolutely love. I feel like I've done a portion of my job because I've got a son who really does care about other people. So my job, I believe, or what I want to do now, is to teach him about economics. Because he cares about other people. He sees injustice and he thinks it's wrong. We disagree on the prescription on how to address some of these things, but in most particular, I think our disagreement is on economics and who best solves and what systems best solve problems. I've explained to my son that what we're seeing right now is not capitalism. It hasn't been capitalism, but real capitalism. Capitalism is for the little people. The elites have capitalism when they have gains, and they have socialism when they have losses. They share the losses. They keep the gains. But real capitalism solves problems. It feeds people. It gets people the things they want. It improves your quality of life. And the problems that are pointed out with capitalism are problems that occur from the government interrupting real capitalism. I could do entire shows about that. I know economics, just you say the word and people's eyes glaze over. I mean, not many of us went to school to study economics, and there's a reason for that. It's not a real sexy topic a lot, but it's so important. And the reason we misdiagnose problems and follow the wrong people is because we do not have any economic understanding of what's going on. We listen to a politician just tell us they're going to make it all better, and we just suspend all disbelief. Even though it never works, because we just don't understand economics. So Love my son. I'm really proud of him that he cares a great deal about other people and fairness and justice and those kinds of things all of us should believe in. And now I just want to continue to try to teach him, and maybe he may still disagree with me. And the thing was great about talking to my son is that we disagreed about things and we went back and forth. And I listened to him, and he said some really smart stuff. And I was sitting there thinking, well, when I was 20 years old, I was trying to figure out where I could get the cheapest Coors party ball. You remember those little plastic kegs they had? That was the depth of my intellectual thinking when I was 20 years old, so I was very impressed by what he said. But the beautiful thing was we talked about this stuff, and then we just stopped talking about this stuff and talked about other stuff and had a great time, laughed and joked and everything. We didn't internalize all of it. He's not a bad person because he disagrees with me on some things. I'm not a bad person to him because I'm telling him things that he doesn't necessarily know, believe, or want to hear right now. We just had a conversation, and then we moved on to some other stuff. I find it fascinating, and it's actually, it's interesting. I love watching kids grow up and develop their own ideas, even if I disagree with them. It's fascinating to watch. I've always thought children got more and more interesting as they went along. They're cute. They're cute when they're born, but they get more challenging, more interesting the older they get, as far as I'm concerned. I want to get on to some of the election stuff, and if there are people in the African-American community that are up in arms about any new voting laws, I'd like you to call in and explain some things to me. I'll give you a couple of questions when I come back. The number here is 601-879-0002. Texas legislators jumped onto their private jets, maskless, to head to Washington, D.C. to avoid a vote in Texas on new voting laws there. This is their little game. They run away. It is kind of comical, but I don't do the political theater. They're pandering, and Republicans are pandering, but I agree with what Republicans are doing. I don't think voting should be easy. I think too many people vote. People are talking about moving the voting age down to 16. I think it should go up to 35. Really, whatever gets me more freedom is what I will support, but some level of a civics test, an IQ test. I mean, I guess that's not really fair because everybody has to suffer the consequences of the policies of the nut jobs we continue to elect, thinking that just this time, I voted really hard this time, this one should work. But they're doing their, Democrats are doing their little grandstanding thing, but I just do not understand the uproar about voting laws this time around. It's not Jim Crow time. And I'll explain why I don't understand it when I come back. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I don't know if it's a good radio form or not to be responding to news breaks and commentaries during the show. I feel like it makes it flow if you're listening live. If you're listening on the podcast, and you can get this show on podcast, you can go to Apple Podcasts and search for The Mike Madison Show, or go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com and follow it or download a show if you're interested or you want to hate listen to me, however you use the show. But the guy was just talking about the protests in Cuba, and I haven't talked about those. It was funny. My son was asking me about him this morning by text, and one of the things he said I just loved is he said, yeah, that's the CIA is noodling around down in Cuba. I was like, yeah, you're right about that. I'm sure we've got our sticky little fingers all over this stuff. Communism is just disgusting. As a libertarian, I'm so much further from communism than your average conservative. Conservatives will cheer for Donald Trump when he wants the Federal Reserve to do more central planning of our economy by zero interest rates. A central bank like that is a plank of the Communist Manifesto. Conservatives will cheer for 3% cut off of their rate on a progressive tax code, which is a plank of the Communist Manifesto. I call for zero personal income taxes to abolish the IRS. So as a libertarian, I'm much further away from communism than most conservatives and Republicans. Conservatives and Republicans cheer for some centralized control. You don't really know that's what you're doing, but you do. And I wish that would change. If there were some good Republicans out there that would point these things out to people, they might educate people, but they don't. But anyway, the communism is just disgusting. Here's the interesting thing about Cuba, though. We've had sanctions on Cuba for 60 years now, and they've been completely ineffective. You're going to hear some of the neocons, some of the psychopaths who run American foreign policy, talking about how the sanctions are hurting the Cuban regime. I mean, after 60 years of failure, this is like the war on drugs and every other failed policy that comes out of Washington, D.C. They just keep doing it, expecting a different result. And anytime something comes up, they'll go, see, we're hurting the people down there and they're rising up. They're going to overthrow this communist dictatorship. I wish the people would overthrow their communist dictatorship down in Cuba, but that's their business. But here's the thing about U.S. sanctions on countries like this, or Iran, or anything like that. I believe the sanctions actually extend the life of despotic regimes. Because communist countries, centralized planned countries, communist, socialist, these kinds of places, will destroy their economy all on their own. And the people will look at their leadership as they're eating their dogs and flamingos from the zoos. They'll look at their leadership and go, what the hell is going on? You guys have failed us. Look at the quality of our life. And they will get rid of these kinds of governments. It's not easy when you've got a totalitarian government, but eventually they do understand. But when the U.S. does sanctions, then that corrupt leader of a socialist or a communist country just blames the U.S. I'm sure, what's his name? Spacing on the guy's name in Venezuela. I'm sure he points to, I mean, the socialism has destroyed Venezuela. But it's pretty easy when the U.S. has targeted you to just tell your people, not my fault. It's the U.S. and their sanctions and they're crippling our economy. They won't let us export our oil, our biggest natural resource. And I believe that pacifies people for a period of time. It actually unites them. You can imagine if we were attacked by a foreign power, we would forget a lot of our differences and our gripes and really focus on this foreign power that had targeted the United States. This happens in foreign countries. So the leadership in Cuba has for years and years, decades and decades, been able to point to the U.S. and says, it's not our system that's failing the people. It's the fact that the U.S. has got such crippling sanctions on our country. Our socialism would flourish if it was not for the evil empire U.S. And the people go, oh, okay. And that may be the plan all along. I don't think I'm the only person that could figure that out. I would imagine some of the psychopaths in Washington, D.C. can figure that out too. And so these sanctions are completely ineffective. And I believe they give a great excuse to the leadership, horrible, corrupt leadership of authoritarian regimes, to point to all of the problems in the country and say, not our fault. It's the fault of the U.S. and other Western powers who sanction us. The sanctions against Cuba should end. That way, when they fail, the people have only one person to blame, one group to blame, and that is their own government. They won't have the excuse of some foreign power exerting influence over what's going on there. So sanctions should be ended, even though it gives everybody a nice jolly to think you're hurting somebody. But, you know, ultimately you just end up hurting a bunch of innocent people. And the only reason you are not a Cuban is by luck of the draw. You were born in the United States. When your number came up, that's where you ended up. I didn't earn my American citizenship. I was born to two American parents. And had I not, I might have been on the receiving end. I might have been born in another country as just an innocent child, innocent teenager, innocent adult. Just happened to be, by virtue of birth, born into a country that is just targeted by the psychopaths in Washington, D.C. So that's who we're hurting. We're hurting average people, and we're not damaging these regimes. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the governments of these countries that we continue to sanction, the elected leaders there, whether it's Russia or China or Venezuela or Iran or Cuba, the elected leaders do fine. They don't miss a meal. They never do. And if you haven't noticed, there's not been evidence in recent history of sanctions working, maybe ever, to actually get the people to... The idea is, if we starve the people, that'll give them the energy to overthrow their government. What a stupid, stupid policy. Anyway, good luck to the people of Cuba. Get rid of that horrible government you've got. And I wish the U.S. would leave you alone to do it. I wanted to talk a little bit about this, the voting rights laws. I just do not understand the changes to them. This idea of not making voting so incredibly easy that there's zero effort. It's a lot like the vaccine. I mean, what Democrats will tell you, and some Republicans, but mostly Democrats will tell you about the vaccine, is we've got to basically go door to door to give it to people because people are just too lazy and stupid to drive half a mile. I think you could probably even call somebody in the health department to come out and bring you a vaccine. But it's like they believe that people are sitting there in fear for their life, but they're just too lazy to, you know, when they're in Kroger, oh, the vaccine's all the way at the other end of the store. I mean, I'm in fear of COVID. It's going to kill me if I don't get one, but I just can't be walking all the way down to the other end of the Kroger to get my... I mean, you know, how lazy are Americans? And the same thing is for voting, and I don't understand the black community's reaction to these things. And here's the reason why. The laws that are being contemplated, being voted on around the country, and these voting reform laws apply to blacks and whites equally. Now, that was different in the past. But if you have to have a driver's license, and that is a bone of contention for the Democrats, and they always point to, now, I'm sure there's a lot of black people listening to me right now, you got a driver's license, you don't feel like a child. Of course we can get a driver's license. But the Democrats couch this whole debate as this is an attack on the minority and particularly the black community. This is really where they put this thing. This is where they lay it. And what I hear when I hear that is just huge racism. I hear Democrats saying, well, we know white people are capable of getting a driver's license, but black people, just a lot of them, are not capable of getting a driver's license. We know that white people can drive to one of the 24 drop boxes, but black people can't get there. We know that white people can vote within a 9-day stretch, but we've got to give black people 18, 24, 36, 72 days to vote because they can't fit it into 9 days of voting. If the laws were different for whites and blacks, I would understand that. If the only place you could get a driver's license was at some white-only country club that didn't allow black people on the property and they forced you to get a driver's license, I'd understand the concerns with that. But I've been to the DMV here in Jackson, Mississippi. A lot of black people there, too. There's no barriers to getting an ID for one race. So all I hear when I see these Democrat lawmakers objecting to all of these things, it sounds to me like they're saying, well, of course, you can put up any hurdles and white people can get over them. But black people just can't. They're just help. They just cannot. They can't take the same restriction. They can't figure it out. I got Kamala Harris weighing in on this. I mean, you want to talk about an empty suit. Kamala Harris may be the emptiest of the empty suits. This woman has never had an original idea. She is a mental midget. And it just means that she must just be one of the slimiest little political climbers that has ever existed, because she certainly did not get to anything that she's doing on ability or brains or creativity. She's just really, really terrible. But she had this to say. I guess this was about, if you send in an absentee ballot or you vote by mail, you have to send in a picture copy, you know, a copy of your driver's license as well.
Please pay attention to this. Most of what you're seeing in terms of attempts to suppress the vote are coming out of legislatures in southern states. And, you know, and I'm also saying, look, for some of those states where where the legislature is hell-bent on making it difficult for us to vote, we're going to have to start rallying now to make sure we're thinking creatively about how we register people to vote.
They say it's making it more difficult for Democrats to vote. But the rules are the same for Democrats and Republicans. So if the idea is that shortening the time you can vote from 18 days to 9 days, I don't have the particulars of the Georgia bill and the Texas bill in front of me, but the laws apply to everybody equally. Why is it that white people can figure out how to make a vote happen, but the black community cannot? That seems so racist to me. I just assume. I mean, am I being naive? Are black people mad at me for saying this thing, what I'm about to say? I assume that black people can overcome any hurdle that white people can. I assume that black people can make arrangements to vote the same way white people can. Is that a bad statement? It seems to me that's a statement of equality. So it would be one thing if the rules for, if they said black people can only vote during 3 days, but we're going to give white people 10 days, I would share the outrage. That would be wrong. But they're not saying that. They're just setting up rules that white people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, old people, young people, fat people, thin people all need to abide by. How does that a racist policy?
We remind them of what's on the line. People are talking about potential compromises. Mm-hmm. Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't, there's no Kinko's, there's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID.
You know, when you live in a rural community, there's a whole lot of things that aren't real close to you. There are grocery stores. Do we assume that people out in rural areas can't eat? Well, I moved out here and there ain't no grocery stores around, so I guess we're just going to starve. I mean, again, this is the infantilization of people by the Democratic Party. And Kamala Harris, this is Kamala Harris telling you that a whole group of people can't find a way to make a copy. We can't be asking Americans to expend a bunch of mental energy to figure out a way to make a copy. I'm sure there's a bunch of voting age people out there, 18 or 21 years or older, that have never in their lives made a copy. This is what she thinks about you people.
ID laws? Be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
What about any of these laws makes it almost impossible? Again, I've been to the DMV. I've seen a lot of black people. I got a DUI years ago, something I'm not proud of, but my license got taken up, so I went and got a state ID. I just assume people in the black community could do the same thing I did and go get a state ID. I think it was $5. It might have been free. I think they do allow them to be free now. I think this is so racist. I had a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? And I think they hung up. You got to hold if you call the Mike Madison Show. But I did read this. I mean, a recent analysis from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution found that over 272,000 registered voters in the state, this is Georgia, did not have a driver's license or state ID on file. These voters were disproportionately black. How in the world, in the state of Georgia, I don't know how many people are in Georgia, maybe 6 or 7 million people, 272,000 voting age people do not have an ID. They don't do any transactions. They don't have a bank account. They don't. I mean, you have to have an ID to do anything, to check into a hotel. I think you'd be doing these people a favor to get them off their butts and show them how to get an ID, and people in their community could do that. Hey, Aunt Nelda, you've had an ID for a while. Somehow I'm an adult and I've never figured out how to get a state ID or a driver's license. Could you maybe tell me how? I do not understand how these laws are in any way, shape, or form racist if the rules are the same for everybody. It seems to me it's racist to call that racist. Because the inherent message to me is, we can put up all kinds of rules, but only white people are going to be able to figure them out. Only white people can make the polls within 9 days. It's going to take black people 18 days to go in and vote. I mean, again, 601-879-0002. If someone can give me a call, I got to take a break when I come back, though. If someone can give me a call and explain to me how these things are racist. The Democrats are playing the black community. They're further infantilizing the black community, as I've said they've done for forever. Black people should be leaving them in droves. You should be insulted by what the Democrat Party is telling you about these voting rules. Because from what I've seen, there's nothing in there that makes it an exclusive club, any hurdle that only a white person could overcome. Man, you had a whole movement about we shall overcome, but you can't figure out how to get a driver's license and show up at the polls within 8 days and make a copy? Come on. Be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. All right, I've only got a few minutes left here. I am just, for the life of me, I say it all the time, I'm a simple man. Things just need to be explained to me. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. If there's an article that explains how voting laws that apply to every race, color, and creed equally, how that is racist, please send it to me. I'd like to read it. I'm open. I talked to a Democrat one day about these issues, and they said something along the lines of, it might have been Georgia stopped some Sunday voting, and it was the culture in the black community to go after church and go vote, something along those lines. I'm very unspecific in that, but it was something along those lines. And I wouldn't put it past any politician of either party to try to just kind of needle around and go, well, maybe this will dampen turnout. Republicans may do that too. I'm not some person who says, oh, the Republicans are just interested in free and fair. They want an advantage, too. But to the black community, I would say, well, if that gets passed, then, you know, the attitude of the black community to me would be, well, we'll show them. We'll make the change and vote on Saturday instead. Or we'll make it a Monday afternoon, you know, whatever. Adjust. Beat them at their own game. If there even was something like that that was felt like it was trying to be some kind of an obstacle, go back to the we shall overcome days rather than the we're going to sit around and wait till a bunch of politicians that just all jumped maskless on a private jet until they fix it for us. Until then, we're helpless. In this topsy-turvy world we live in, where black is white and white is black, and I don't mean that racially, I just mean the entire world is just bizarro world, the charges of racism, in my estimation, from my, again, I'm simple. People can, maybe someone can explain this to me, but almost every charge of racism seems to be racist to me against black people. And when you've got Democrat lawmakers saying, well, white people can figure out these voting rules, but black people can't. When you've got Democrats saying people don't know how to make a copy, don't know how to, I mean, I don't know what to say. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It seems really belittling. And one of the things, maybe it's just me, the way I'm wired. I don't like people to treat me like a child or take me for a fool. But a lot of people, I guess, are okay with that. They want to play that part. They feel like they've got a protector, somebody speaking up for them. Rather than figuring things out for yourself, you're waiting for a champion to make everything really, really easy for you. I think that's a hell of a way to go through life, because life is not easy. And if you're waiting on a politician to fix a problem for you, good luck with that. It is quite simply not going to happen. But I'm open to whatever. If somebody's got some examples of how, you know, someone else pointed out gerrymandering to me. Both parties do that. It's disgusting. It's people trying to hold on to power, but we've allowed them to do it for forever. We don't penalize them. The political class gets away with so much nastiness. Across the board, Republican and Democrat. But I do not understand the, of course, this is the same party that where Joe Biden said that, you know, black people got some great ideas, but they just can't find lawyers or accountants. to which a lot of black lawyers and accountants chimed in, what the hell are you talking about? There's plenty of black attorneys, black accountants or attorneys in the phone book that anybody can reach out to. But Joe Biden thinks that the black community just haven't quite figured out how to find an attorney or an accountant. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting an attorney. The black community to me, who cares what I think about it? Middle-aged white guy. It just seems like if I felt like I was under, I would just do a we'll show you. I'll put up whatever hurdle you want to. You can't stop us. That would be a much more productive attitude anyway. I'm not saying suffer every abuse and let everything go unchallenged until it just gets to where it is really hard to operate. But the things that are being asked in these voting laws, they're equally applied to everybody, and they're not difficult. It is just reining in some of the excess that tried to make voting the same as putting on your socks in the morning. Not everything should be wildly easy. That leads to fraud and other problems. Overcome if you think there's something being put in your way. Gotta go. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.